Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Origins of Political Order, From Pre-Human Times to the French Revolution by Jonathan Davis, is an ambitious survey of how human beings moved from small kin-based groups to complex states with laws, bureaucracies, and systems of accountability. Drawing on insights from anthropology, evolutionary biology, history, and political science, the book asked why some societies built durable, effective governments, while others remained fragmented or fell into cycles of corruption and violence. It traces the emergence of core political institutions such as centralized authority, professional administration, and the rule of law, then follows their uneven development across regions and eras. Rather than treating modern politics as inevitable progress, Davis emphasizes contingency, geography, warfare, religion, social class, and economic change shape which institutions appear and whether they persist. The narrative culminates in early modern Europe and the French Revolution, highlighting the pressures that push states toward broader participation and constraints on rulers. Readers get both a broad framework and specific historical illustrations of political development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from kinship to hierarchy, the deep roots of politics, a central theme is that political order begins long before written constitutions, in the social instincts and constraints formed in pre-human and early human communities. Davis highlights how kinship-based organization created cohesion through shared identity, reciprocity, and informal norms, but also imposed limits. Loyalty to family and clan can solve problems of trust in small groups, yet it often resists scaling because obligations are personal and partial. As populations grew and competition intensified, informal rulemaking increasingly gave way to hierarchy, leadership roles, and enforcement mechanisms. The book explains why violence and bargaining are not aberrations, but recurring tools in early political formation, shaping who commands and who obeys. It also examines how religion and shared ritual can function as social technology, reinforcing cooperation and legitimizing authority beyond immediate kin. This foundation matters because many later political dilemmas remain variations of early trade-offs: favoritism versus impartiality, solidarity versus innovation, and personal rule versus institutional rule. By starting with deep origins, Davis frames state building as an extension of human social capacities and weaknesses, rather than a purely modern invention. Secondly, building states, central authority, bureaucracy, and the monopoly of force, Davis treats state formation as a practical solution to collective action problems. Defense, taxation, adjudication, and infrastructure require coordination beyond what clans can provide. A key topic is the rise of centralized authority that can reliably extract resources and enforce decisions across territory. This involves the gradual development of administrative capacity, record-keeping, standardized rules, and officials who act in the name of an office rather than personal loyalty. The book explores how warfare and external threats often accelerate this process by forcing rulers to mobilize revenue and manpower, which in turn encourages more systematic governance. Yet the same pressures can produce predatory states that exploit rather than protect, so the quality of institutions matters as much as their strength. Davis also emphasizes the difference between patrimonial systems, where offices are treated as property and distributed through favoritism, and more modern bureaucratic arrangements that aim for competence and predictability. Readers see how states consolidate the monopoly of force, but also how that monopoly remains contested by nobles, militias, and local power brokers. The topic underscores that the state is not just a ruler, it is an organizational machine that must be built, maintained, and constrained. Thirdly, rule of law, legitimacy, rights, and limits on power, another major pillar of political order, is the rule of law, meaning that rulers and citizens alike are bound by stable norms and procedures rather than personal whim. Davis examines how legal systems emerge from custom, religious authority, and pragmatic compromise, then evolve into formal institutions such as courts and codified law. The book highlights that rule of law is not synonymous with democracy. Many societies created meaningful legal constraints while remaining oligarchic or monarchic. What matters is legitimacy. People comply when they believe rules are rightful, predictable, and broadly applicable. Davis also explores how property rights, contracts, and inheritance rules shape economic development by reducing uncertainty and encouraging long-term investment. At the same time, law can entrench inequality when elites design institutions to protect their privileges. This tension helps explain why legal development is often uneven, with progress in commercial law or administrative procedure occurring alongside restricted political participation. By comparing historical experiences, the book clarifies that rule of law is both a moral achievement and a strategic equilibrium, sustained when powerful actors accept constraints because the alternative is instability or costly conflict. Fourthly, accountable government, representation, checks, and political bargaining, Davis argues that durable political order requires more than a strong state and law. It also needs mechanisms that make rulers answerable to society. This topic examines how accountability arises through bargaining between rulers and influential groups such as nobles, clergy, merchants, and later broader publics. When governments need revenue, especially for war, they often negotiate with those who control resources, leading to representative assemblies, tax oversight, and constraints on arbitrary seizure. The book treats these arrangements as institutionalized deals rather than purely ideological victories. Over time, they can expand, but they can also collapse when rulers find alternative revenue sources or when elites block inclusion to preserve status. Davis connects accountability to administrative competence. Representation without capacity can produce paralysis, while capacity without accountability can produce corruption and abuse. He also emphasizes path dependence, where early choices about land tenure, military organization, and social hierarchy shape later possibilities for reform. By tracing how different societies balanced coercion with consent, the book provides a framework for understanding why some states became more responsive and stable, while others remained authoritarian or fragile. Accountability, in this view, is a hard-won constraint shaped by interests, institutions, and historical accidents. Lastly, from early modern Europe to revolution, modernity's political breakthroughs, the final arc follows the pressures that transformed European states and set the stage for revolutionary change. Davis focuses on how economic growth, urbanization, literacy, and expanding markets increase demands for predictable law and more inclusive governance. He also highlights how competition among European powers drove administrative innovation and fiscal reforms, while also generating social strain through taxation and conscription. The French Revolution appears as a culmination of long-building tensions, legitimacy crises, elite resistance to reform, and popular demands for rights and representation. Rather than presenting revolution as inevitable, Davis treats it as a contingent outcome of institutional mismatch, where old regimes could not adapt their fiscal and political structures to new realities. The topic also explores how revolutionary ideologies spread because they offered compelling solutions to recurring problems of authority and inequality, but also because existing institutions had lost credibility. The reader comes away with a sense of modern political order as a three-part system: capable state institutions, rule-bound governance, and accountability to society. The path to that system is portrayed as conflictual and uneven, shaped by the interaction of ideas, material forces, and institutional constraints. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a big-picture explanation of how governments form and why some institutional arrangements endure. Students of history, political science, economics, public policy, and international relations will benefit, as will general readers who enjoy long-range narratives that connect ancient social patterns to modern political debates. It can improve a reader's life by providing a clearer mental model for evaluating current events, corruption, weak institutions, authoritarian drift, and reform movements look different when you understand the underlying trade-offs between kinship loyalty and impartial administration, coercive capacity and legal constraint, and power and accountability. Compared with many books that focus on a single country or a short period, Davis offers a synthetic framework that helps you compare cases and ask better questions, not just memorize timelines. It is worth buying because it links multiple disciplines into one coherent story, making it easier to see why reforms that work in one context fail in another. The result is a practical kind of knowledge. You gain tools for interpreting institutions as products of incentives, history, and social structure rather than as simple choices made by leaders. If you would like to support Jonathan Davis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.